Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to King of the Road. I am in buoyant mood. What a day yesterday was. Chelsea beat Manchester United and we are on the crest of a wave because a lot of people have been asking if the next guest could be the one and only Sophie Rose. And I'm delighted to say that she is sitting opposite me now. Sophie.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much for coming on, Soph.
You're welcome anytime. I quite like this.
It was a wonderful day yesterday, wasn't it?
Love to talk. Yes, it was really, really good. And actually, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think we were going to play as well as we did. I was actually really nervous before the game. But I did say if Kante's back, it'll be a completely different game. I did something with full-time Devils before the match and they literally hammered me. They were like, Lukaku's far better than Morata. Morata's out of form, blah, blah, blah. Jose's the better manager and all these sorts of things. And I said, listen, I said, I'm going to sit here quietly because I know for a fact that in these sorts of games, I said, especially for us, because after the Roma game, how badly
it was played. Nice to see the reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had a really good reaction. I think actually as well, a lot of the fans, when I did the interviews after, said that they thought the players are playing for the manager because they want the manager to stay. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I mean, it seemed, I mean, the performance, even from Bakayoko, who's not had a good couple of games, he was brilliant. Special mention to Christensen. I thought he was fantastic. Just not really one player that I can criticise yesterday. I thought everybody was really, really good. It's just a long time since I've seen us play just some really, really decent football against a really tough side.
It was really good, wasn't it? I think Fabregas really does deserve special mention. I thought he controlled the pace and the tempo of the game magnificently. But do you know what we also need to talk about, Soph?
Mm.
What a goal. What a header that was.
Such a good goal. Do you know, I think a lot of fans at the start of the season were like, oh, missing out on Lukaku is terrible. Morata's never going to be as good. But he's settled in so quickly, all by his injury. Obviously, that gives you a little bit of a halt. But I think I'm a massive fan. I think he really, really wants all the fans at Chelsea to really like him. From what I heard, somebody told me the other day that he was a little bit worried because he's coming to, like, you know, the Premier League and nobody really knows who he is, things like that. But I think he's settled in really well.
It's a very difficult league to come into. But scoring a goal like that, it's the archetypal centre-forward's goal. Like, that's up there with, I remember when I was a kid, I was always so impressed with Les Ferdinand, the way that he used to hang in the air. A cross would come in, two people would jump for it, and Les Ferdinand would be left in the air for like 5 seconds longer than the defender. And he'd then plant the header, you know, back where it's come from, into the opposite corner. And that's exactly what Morata did. To root David De Gea to the floor. Like, De Gea is a wonderful keeper.
He is a really good
keeper.
Didn't
even move for it, Soph.
Do you know what, though? But not even just Morata yesterday. Like, I mean, I think I didn't say to Dan next to me, for those of you that know where I sit next to Dan Banks, check him out on Instagram.
Shed Upper.
I said, where's Lukaku? And he was right there on the pitch, but I wasn't even paying attention to Man United because they were leaving space all over the place, weren't they? They really didn't play very well, but it was just all us the whole game and up until the last 10 minutes anyway, and even then we defended really well. But I was more interested in just seeing us play wonderful football, and that's exactly what we did. I was really, really pleased, and I think we have to mention Kante because some of the interceptions he made, I was at one point he ran from the middle of the field all the way to the left-hand side and just booted the ball away from Man United.
I think he, when he's on form, which he was yesterday, he allows, you know, I've already noted that Fabregas for me was man of the match, but I think that a lot of the credit that I'm giving to Fabregas actually belongs at the feet of N'Golo Kante because he allows Fabregas to flourish.
But I think I said to everybody in my interviews yesterday, like, it's not just Kante and how brilliant he is. When Kante comes back into the team, Conte then seems to know where to put everybody else, and everybody else goes back to playing their best and gets back into their positions. Fabregas can play a bit further upfield. He doesn't work well with Bakayoko in central midfield. I think we can all agree on that. And
as
I was
a
just,
two, I agree. Fabregas as a two doesn't work.
And everybody just seemed to play far better. But I mean, for me, Kante yesterday, some of the things he was doing, he was, I think, United players trying to take a shoot at goal and nothing. Kante was straight in there, things like that. And that's just what I love to see.
No, it really was an excellent performance. And the atmosphere in the bridge was good.
Really, really good, actually. Really loud. It's always loud in the Shadow Box. We've got quite a lot of season ticket holders up there. Same faces every year. Yeah. Maybe one or two changes, but that's about it. Good Zigga Zagga guy as well.
Yeah,
for those of you
yeah.
that like that song. Really good atmosphere. Really loud. Man United fans surprisingly quiet throughout the majority
did
of the
game. Did
you think? Yeah, I thought they were quiet. Yeah, compared to normal.
Yeah, they do have very good away support. How did you feel seeing Jose Mourinho at the bridge? Opposition dugout?
This is such an arguing point for fans, because I honestly just can't say anything bad about a manager that gave us Premier League titles. And I think when he came back for a second spell, there was not one fan that was disappointed. I remember working in the pub across the road all those years ago in the Kona Kai. It's where a lot of fans knew me from. And fans used to come in and say, oh, I miss Jose, I just want him back. This was when Benitez was in charge. I think this is probably the final straw where everybody was just like, oh, well, I mean, I know he won the Europa League with us, but the Premier League, you know, things like that. And everybody was just so disheartened and was just like, what are we going to do? There was no, like, really, like, you know, heart and soul in the club. We wanted a manager back that had, like, given us something. And when he came back, for the most part, and won us a trophy, everyone was really, really pleased. So I, for one, won't say anything bad about him. I actually met him in the health club once, and I was like, I love you. He gave me a wink, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that'll do,
but, you know, I won't say anything bad. But in terms of 90 minutes on the pitch, that's, you know, the love story sort of finished.
Yeah, absolutely. Another love story that's finished is the love affair between Chelsea Football Club and Michael Emanalo. The news has just broken that Emanalo has left Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah. I think we can both agree, it's only a good thing, because I think it's just sort of just time for a change. It's not the good that he's done. Me and Rory have just done a video on it on our channel, CFC Fan TV, for those of you that haven't watched already. I'm sure you have.
Get onto YouTube and subscribe right now.
But it's not the good that he's done. We've seen him bring in Hazard. You said Dave Aspilicueta. I always call him Dave. I hope you lot know who I'm talking about. It's the bad signings that we've made, like Pepe De La Boggi and Felipe Luis, Falcao.
Michael Hector, there's a long list.
There are just so many that, you know, it's okay to take a bit of a pun and see if some players work, but there are some where you're just a bit like, why on earth would you even bother wasting your time? We could be going after somebody else that's more suited to our club.
And the loan system that he's employed so passionately doesn't really make people happy, does it?
No, and that's actually a big thing for Chelsea fans. They don't like people in the hierarchy that don't favour our youth. And we've currently got, apparently, the best youth academy there is.
Yeah, we certainly do. Jody Morris is doing a wonderful
job.
Yeah, he is.
And the problem is that you want to see some of those players come through to the first team eventually, whether it's the odd one or two or three, whatever. Currently, how many young players have we got out on loan?
Yeah.
I mean, the list just goes on and on. So that's something that the fans don't like, and I think that's sort of more the heart and soul of the club, really. So I think it's just time for him to move on, but it's going to be like a talking point, and it's not going to be one of those things where every single person's happy that he's gone.
Are you? How do you feel about it?
I'm happy, yes. I think it's just time for somebody to go. I think it's a very weird time for him to leave. I would think if you're going to end your 10-year spell, you do it at the end of the season rather than...
Which implies that it's not a harmonious decision.
Yeah, right? I mean, what, we start of November? It's a bit of a straight. It's not even a crew. We're not even in January yet. So, yeah, I think it's a bit bizarre.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I think that it's good news. Something that I'm not enjoying so much, though, is the argument that seems to be brewing and gaining a lot of momentum between Antonio Conte and the wonderful David Luiz. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, we just done a video on that as well, weren't we? I love David Luiz. He's a fantastic personality. The only time I've ever not liked David Luiz when he scored that goal for PSG at the Bridge. And then
I've seen a video of you.
And he celebrated. I'm in that one.
You're in
yes.
a video.
Oh, so do you know what happened there? So everyone's like, why are you on your phone? I'm like, I was just texting my mate saying, we're through, we've done it. Yeah. It's all over. And then I just looked up and me and my mate are like, what's he just done? But he said he was just overcome with emotion and didn't really mean to be
disrespectful. Also, really, Soph, you can't actually hold a man, you can't hold anything against a player celebrating a goal of that magnitude.
No,
it's a huge goal in the Champions League, away at Stamford Bridge, for his current employer. You can't honestly think that he shouldn't have celebrated that.
No, of course not, no. I mean, I'm just saying that in that moment I was a bit like, Oh, really? But he did, he apologised straight after, I think, in his post-match interview. But anyway, aside from that, I think he is a great addition to our football team. I don't like him as a defender. I know you really do.
Yeah, I do.
But I think in this current side, he's much better in midfield. But I think he's sort of one of those players who's probably got such a big personality that when something sort of ticks him off, he's one of those people that's always really happy, always really smiley, really laughy. Once when something really, really makes him mad, he's probably
just had a big blowout. He's definitely got an edge. There's no doubt in my mind that his character is part of his brilliance as a footballer is actually his edge. He's a very, very hard, very, very tenacious, very physical, very combative footballer. Mm. And it, of course, those characteristics that make him such a good player will also make him quite a prickly person.
Yeah, basically. And I think that's what's happened. I don't think it's anything to majorly worry about. I think all the reports at the moment are like, because obviously he was left out of the Man United side at the weekend.
Being left out of the side is one thing, though. So,
well,
and
yeah,
I think
being,
you're right,
not being on the bench. I know, yeah.
Like, Ethan Ampadu was on the bench. Like, whether you think David Luiz, whether you think his performance should allow him to play in the starting lineup at the moment, that's up for debate. But nobody would make a case for him not being on the bench.
There's two things here. So I think you mentioned it earlier as well, and I've seen it. It's a bit like you've got a manager and a player. You've got players who've got huge egos, and you've also got managers that sometimes when a manager comes in, I mean, for instance, look at Joe Hart. If a manager doesn't like you, then you have to go. And imagine being at a football team for X amount of years or something that, you know, a team you really want to play in, and the manager comes in and all of a sudden he doesn't want you in the team, or you've had disagreeing about something, then a manager can also, you know, either wreck a player's career or vice versa, do things that sort of a player wouldn't necessarily agree with. So I think it's way too early to tell, and I think this is an ongoing thing. I mean, if he's left out for a few more games, then we can start talking about it. But at the moment, for all the rumours saying he's going to leave in January, I think that's a little bit... Premature. There we go, yeah.
I really do hope you're right, because I think that David Luiz is a masterful football player, and it's very important to remember, a fella played a Champions League final and won a Champions League final for us pretty much on one leg.
Yeah.
Like, he was injured, he would have never played that game under normal circumstances, but due to suspensions, we had no option but to throw him in the deep end, and he was incredible. He scored a penalty. I love the guy. I think he's brilliant. I was delighted when he returned to Chelsea, and I really hope that they can sort this issue out, because Conte's mouthpiece on the pitch feels like it's David Luiz. Like, the closest thing to Antonio Conte off the pitch, what we have on the pitch is David Luiz. David Luiz is Conte's passion embodied in those 11. You know, it's not Gary Cahill. Gary Cahill's a captain. But David Luiz is the man who seems to have the rapport with the fans. He's G'ing the fans up. He's telling players where to go. He's making sure that everyone's on their man at corners. So I really do hope that David Luiz can sort this out.
Yeah, I love David Luiz. And I think it's too premature to be talking about him leaving now. I just think it's probably something on both sides. The one thing I know is that David Luiz does not want to find himself next to Kennedy. Because, I mean, if Kennedy's behaviour is anything to go by, although I think Kennedy's a really good footballer, you just don't want to find yourself on the naughty step, do you?
No.
That's just not a place you want to be.
No, and we've obviously, sticking to a Brazilian theme here, Diego Costa has already had this fallout with Conte and has gone. We now know, obviously, we've just had the discussion about Michael Emenalo being leaving the club, which is a good sign, I think, because it should mean that the club are backing Conte.
Do you know, I'll make a good point about this.
Are you just flagging that this is going to be a good point?
I'm going to tie Fabregas, because I've just thought of it. I'm like, yes, it's a really good thing to
say.
I like that
you flagged it. This is a good point, everybody.
Lose my trail of thought. Right, Conte is probably the first manager that I've seen come into Chelsea Football Club to play players based on merit. The difference is, depends how players handle this. The likes of Diego Costa have a huge ego, so he's going to get mad, kick up a fuss, start acting like a two-year-old. We don't really know what went on, but I can assure you there's something that went on like that at the start, and he's ended up leaving. Same thing with David Luiz. I reckon he's had a bit of a childish...
Strop,
basically. And that sort of thing that's happened. Not that I know exactly what's happened, but that's what I can imagine. Fabregas, on the other hand, who wasn't favoured by Conte, I think I read something like he didn't even want his teammates to talk to him. He was really, really upset about the whole situation. He hasn't handled it like either of these two.
No, he's an example, isn't he?
He's a complete example of what happens when basically you keep your head down, you don't fall out with the manager, you do what he wants. If you're not in the team, you're not playing better, then you're not playing well or whatever, you don't fit into it. You train really hard, you prove yourself, and now look at him.
I completely agree, because when Conte came in, Oscar was the man for that position. Conte, you know, it all seemed to be the pre-season tour of the States and all that, all suggested that Oscar was going to be the man to do the Fabregas role, and Fabregas was going to find himself out of the club. It really did look like that. And I remember going into our first game that season against West Ham, it really did look like it was going to all revolve around Oscar. It all changed. Fabregas kept his head down, kept working hard, kept grafting in training, was nothing but professional, and went on to lift the Premier League trophy while Oscar left the country.
Exactly. There's just two really different sides to this. And I think if any of the players, I mean, if Fabregas clearly, he loves, likes playing at Chelsea, he loves living in London. And I think he's just, like you said, a really, really good example of how you should handle yourself. And I think if we, like we know, the club are back in Conte at the moment, if you want to stay at the club, you have to have a good relationship with this manager. And that's good. And I think actually, if I have anything to go by of what I seen on Sunday, everyone played really well. So I think they all need to take a leaf out of his book.
Yeah, I completely agree. Getting your head down, there's a lot to be said. Great point, Soph. Have you just given yourself a click and a pat on the back?
Yeah, I do that. I like to praise myself.
I like it. No, you make a perfectly valid point. I was mocking you to begin with, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because I do say some funny things.
Occasionally, it's been known.
Don't we all?
It's been known. My favourite is when we're doing a fan cam outside the Stamford Bridge or something, and you'll talk about something that's happened in the first half. And it'll always like make me laugh, no matter how many times I hear it. We must have done 200 of those videos together now. Every single time you say the word half, can I put the mic on under you? Okay, over to you.
So I originally grew up in Devon, so we do speak slightly different. So anything with an A, so you lot might say France, I'll say France. Bath is Bath. Laugh. The worst thing is when people take the mick out of it and then I say, stop it, guys, I can't laugh anymore. It's like a double whammy. Yeah. But, you know, listen, but sometimes I'll say, I can't laugh or can't laugh. It just, the A just changes constantly.
It really does. No matter how many times I hear it, it really does make me laugh. And yeah, you'll be talking about an incident in the first half. And
you've got to stop that, Rory. We're looking unprofessional.
I can't help it. I'm sure that everybody watching the video is tickled by it the way that I am.
But somebody else said in the comment the other day, is their accent a little bit off? Or, I was like, thank you.
Yeah, it really did make me laugh. do you know what? Talking about videos that we've made together, it's going to lead us on nicely to a question that I've got in. And the question was put in actually on the iTunes account. So if you want to ask any questions, if you just leave, there's a comment section on our iTunes. You can rate, firstly, this podcast and then you can leave your comments. And somebody has asked, firstly, hoping that you'd be on. And the question that they've asked, Soph, and I'm going to completely hand the floor to you. Why did you guys start a fan channel?
Okay, so...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
For the most part, all you guys know, most of you that are listening, if you don't know, we worked on a different channel for 2 years, and that's how I sort of met Rory and Charlie and, everyone, really. And we had a great time. And I'll always remember it. I'll take you through it from my perspective. I was around my boyfriend's house and I got a call from Rory. We were meant to be doing some filming, I think up at Arsenal. We were meant to be doing some filming somewhere. And I was really excited about it. And you called me and basically said, no, we're not going to do it. And I said, why not? Like, that's never happened before. Then you cancelled another shoot and I thought, oh, that's really strange. And then you sort of called me or text me and said that they're basically not going to run the channel anymore. And I remember crying because I've been trying to get into presenting, especially Chelsea Football Club, because that's sort of my passion. That's, you know, I lived outside the ground, worked outside the ground. That was sort of my passion. That's what I wanted to do. And for me to work so hard and to get this job and to really be enjoying it and to see the fans every weekend, to know that was going to be taken away from me was really, really heartbreaking for me. So I basically thought that was all it. And I was thinking, right, what am I going to do? You know, this is sort of my livelihood. This is what I, you know, this is my hobby and everything like that. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do? And then the company sort of came back to me and said, Sophie, we're willing to keep sort of just you on, but we're just going to do match days. And they offered me a slight pay rise, things like that. But I realised with doing that, that you can't run a channel and produce good content and film good content for the fans, and even for myself to watch and listen to, just by doing match days. We need to be releasing, you know, breaking news and having, you know, chat shows between ourselves and making guest appearances on places and just producing really good content for the fans. And you can't do that. It'd be really, really selfish of me to take the money and just stand outside on a match day and interview the fans, because a lot of you guys can't get to the games as it is, and we want to give you, you know, all sorts, not just the fan reactions on the match days, we want to give you all sorts of content during the week as well. So it didn't make sense for me to stay there. So I thought, right, do I do that or do I start another channel with Rory, with you? So I think we both agreed that that would be the best option and that we would start it from scratch. And it's by no means been easy, and I've had to learn how to edit videos, and Rory's just started editing as well. But I think for the first 6 months, because we all had different jobs and everything, I was just editing every day, and I just didn't, I was really, really, really exhausted by it all.
Do you know what, Soph? I can remember that period, and I was actually very impressed with you, because once we decided to work together, you know, you had the offer from Fremantle at the time. Mm. I made a different offer to you. Thankfully, you decided to explore the thing that I'd suggested, and this is, you know, this
just
is
just sort of chose to work together, didn't we? I think it's one of those things where you've just got to think. And I remember thinking, I don't want somebody. I remember saying to you, you know, there's one thing for somebody to invest, you know, lots of time, money in us and everything. But I said, no, I said, I want us to do this thing together and start from
own
scratch.
It. And it's something that we feel so passionately about. It's nice to have some control over it.
Yeah. And also, I think the channel that we have now is a lot better in most ways. You know, I've vlogged the games. We have our own spin on it. We can put out what content we feel the fans want, and lots of things they didn't have before. And yeah, we film from Dubai and God knows wherever here. And the best thing for me, actually, is taking you all on the match day experience with me, you know, being able to Snapchat and Instagram pictures of just me and you and just doing whatever normally do.
I completely agree. But the moment when I realised, wow, like, it was very impressive, is when we decided to start. I remember a good friend of mine, a fellow called, remember Ricky Valentine?
Yeah.
So he met us, we did one of our first videos outside of Stamford Bridge, and it did well. I remember, like, we put out a video, and Ricky, who I was talking to about it, he went, how many views do you reckon? I kind of went, 1,000.
Yeah, do you know, I thought, right, we're only going to get about 20 to 30 subscribers. I said, but I actually thought we were going to get around maybe 10,000 views. I was thinking, right, you know, that would be the dream.
Oh, I didn't think anything like that.
But Rory was like, no, but you said, okay, subs will be good. I was like, nah, I think we're literally going to get about 20 subs. And when our first video went out, we got about, well, I don't know, 30,000
and 7,000 subs overnight.
Yeah, and we started up a Twitter, we started up an Instagram, and my phone was just going absolutely crazy, and I just couldn't believe it, because at this time, when that video went out, we had zero subscribers. We had to start from scratch.
It's a brand new channel.
Yeah, and that was really difficult, because I feel like we all worked so hard on that last channel, especially you guys, to put out content every day and to get all, you know, all those subscribers, and we worked really hard on it. We travelled up and down the country, and for it all to be gone in the space of, well, yeah, what felt to me like a couple of days, was just really, really upsetting for me. And I just thought, I spoke to my mum, I spoke to my parents stuff, and I was just crying, didn't know what to do. And then I was like, right, I'm going to start my own thing now, because
it's the right time.
And I said, I don't care whether I don't make any money from it for however long. I said, as long as I've tried and whatever, and luckily enough, fans like us, and we're putting out really good content.
Absolutely. But do you know what happened? I remember you did a vlog, and I think Ricky was supposed to edit it, and for whatever reason couldn't. Like, he didn't work with us, you know, he's just a mate of mine, and for whatever, he's probably just out having a drink on a Saturday night. We had no way of getting it out, and you had to put all the effort into the vlog. You were like, right, I'm going to edit, I'm going to do it. And I said, Soph, you've never edited, you can't. I went to bed. I said goodbye to you. I can't remember what game it was, but it was one early in this calendar year. So it was one sort of January this year. I went home, went to bed, and woke up the next day, and I had a notification that a video had gone out on the channel. I thought, oh, this is weird. And I watched it, and you'd basically gone from not owning a computer to buying a computer and editing a video in the space of about 6 hours.
I have to say, my editing skills got a lot better, but that first video, I thought, right, do I wait and do we just...
It's incredible dedication to go from not owning a computer to uploading a video in 6-7 hours and editing it.
It was mental. Yeah, I mean, a video that should have probably taken me around about 45 minutes did take me a good four or five hours because I didn't have what I was doing. I didn't know how to edit.
Have you seen me with a green screen? Yeah. I've got a green screen, right? To anybody, I mean, I think the vast majority of people who are listening to this will have some concept of what I'm talking about, but in case you don't, if you film on green, you can do this thing called Ultra Key, which is where you can make the background disappear and you can put anything there. The first time I did, it's a very, very simple process, by the way. The first time I did that, I ended up leaving my office at 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. I started doing it about 3. It's very simple. It's so tricky. But once you, it's
once
fiddly.
Once you know what to do, it's okay. I still have a technical glitch. But no, I think that video that we eventually put out, it took me all night to put out, I think it got, what, 80, 90,000 views?
Yeah. It was Stoke, we won 4-2.
It was a Stoke City vlog. And it was a great vlog, mind you, but I think that just shows that if you have to care about what you're doing, you have to love what you do. And I really believed in the channel, I really believed in what I was doing, and I was just like, if I'm going to make a go of this, no matter how hard it is, I'm just going to have to teach myself to do this.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now. Mm. You, about a year ago, I had a almost a year ago to the day, in fact, I had a conversation with you where I said, look, we could do our own thing, or... You had a counter offer from Fremantle, which would have also been quite beneficial. Yeah. On the spot, Soph, did you make the right call?
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? The main thing is that I think money overall doesn't make you a very happy person, and short-term gain is not.
No, and this is a passion project for us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. So I just basically thought, right, I'm going to have to do this, and I'm really, really pleased we did because I'm having so much fun.
Great, yeah. And there's another area of your professionalism that a lot of people know you for.
Yes.
I don't know if we've ever had a conversation about it, me and you. I don't think we have, but I don't even know. Have you ever had this conversation anywhere else?
No, it's actually quite nice I get to talk about it.
So, again, loads of you who don't know, but I'm sure almost everyone will. Sophie, as well as owning CFC Fan TV, has a sideline or another career, another income stream.
Yes.
Which is glamour modelling.
Yes, I suppose you could say that. It's not really... The industry sort of died a bit out now, I've probably only been doing it for a few years, but it's not something I ever wanted to get into. It's not something I planned to get into. I got scouted when I was on holiday, and I sort of...
What took me through that process? Where were you?
I was working abroad in Spain, not because
whereabouts?
Oh no, we're not going into that. Palma Nova.
Magaloo. Yeah.
No, but listen, I mean, everybody you say to me, Sophie, you're way too posh to be here. Why are you here? You should not be working in this place. But I was like, nah, listen, I'm saving for the summer. And that's what I had to do back then. You know, I was at uni. I had two, three jobs when I was at home. I was like, but I've got to go away for the summer and just work and save so that when it gets back to...
So what, you lived in Magaloo for an entire summer?
For about 2 months, basically. Right. But I basically went there. I didn't take a day off. I worked 7 days a week for that entire time and just save money. And I ended up saving money. But you get so tired of basically... We used to basically go to work 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. and then we would sleep up until the next day, 6 p.m. and just get up for work and go.
But and what this, was the work? The work was in a bar?
Yeah. And this particular day, I said to my friend... We've got to get up. We've got to get up and go to the beach because
we're nocturnal here. This is rubbish.
I was like, we need to get up. We need to tan. We need to just get out there and go to the pool, whatever. So I went to the hotel where all the workers normally went, and somebody came up to me, and originally I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he was quite persistent. He was with another girl. Yeah, it was with a girl. Don't worry, not just him. And we did like a mini photo shoot, sent it off to an agency, and they liked me. And then I was in a few magazines and stuff. But for me, it was more of a... I said to myself that summer, it was probably within those couple of days, there's like a 3-day gap here, where I said to myself, when I get back, I have to start trying to get into presenting. I have to start getting into something, because I was originally meant to go to London Metropolitan University, which is North London, right by the Arsenal Stadium, old Arsenal Stadium now. And they called me literally a week before I was meant to turn up on that course and said, the government's cut your course, we're not doing any drama courses. And I'd already... I was 250 applicants, so I was one of the last 50 chosen. So I'd worked really hard to get into that. And the only university that I could go to was Roehampton, which was basically the closest to Stamford Bridge. So yeah. I ended up getting a job there and everything. And I thought, right, I'm in this area. This has all happened for a reason. I have to try and get into it when I'm back at home. And luckily he scouted me. And the minute I got back, I went into that. Then I started doing the fan cast with Chidge. That was on for a while. And that sort of, the modelling sort of gave me that exposure to go on and do other things because people sort of knew I was a Chelsea fan and that I went to the game. So no matter what my job was, they knew I was sort of into that. But obviously the modelling gave me a bit of a profile. Went into that, did that for, that was no money in it at all. I just did that for experience and to talk about Chelsea. And it just basically all happened from there. So that's how I got into that. But it is something I'll give up.
The modelling stuff?
Yeah, of course. It's definitely something that I'm going to give up soon.
Do you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, of course I enjoy doing it. I mean, there's all different reasons why girls do it. And I can assure you the attention from boys is probably what people think. And a lot of people think that.
I would guess that that isn't, I wouldn't have said
but
that
it's
was
really
a reason.
Not the most.
Money is a reason.
No, not even that. No, I mean, most of the girls will tell you they do it because it makes them feel a bit more confident than what they used to. A lot of girls that have had surgery, things like that, that is why they'll do those sorts of things. But it doesn't necessarily mean to, like myself, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's got different reasons. And the perception of glam models, although there are a lot like what people think they are, I know from being one myself when I
used to be. So what was your motivation to go into the glamour industry?
I wanted to get into modelling, I wanted to get into presenting, acting, something around those lines. And modelling was the first thing that basically came up.
Right. And had you already had a boot job before?
Yeah.
You'd already had that, right?
But there are loads of things. There are loads of things that I wish I hadn't have done. And there are loads of things that people try to get you to do. So for anybody listening, like, you really need to have quite a strong head and say no to things, basically. But it's very hard when you've got people like, yeah, you should do this photo shoot.
Oh, what? They take it one step too far.
And of course, but I mean, not
like going in a nudie.
Yeah, not necessarily from my agency, but just people outside influencers. You've got to be really, really careful that you just say no. And I've always had a really thick skin, so.
Like Grange Hill.
I'm basically.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I know. That's a great. Yeah, I used to watch
that. Oh, you do know that song?
Yes,
great. Yeah. So, God, I thought, wow, I felt old then.
No, yeah, but you just got to say no to things. And I have never been, you know, and I keep it very separate now.
Do you still do it? Have you done a shoot recently?
No, I still do it. I've got my website, but it's very, very, it's very low key, for instance, from what you would normally see. I really don't do most of the stuff anymore, and that's sort of it really is just modeling. Doesn't go any further than that. If other girls think they want to go into things other than that, they can do, but the two sort of, how can I put it, modeling and anything further than that, they're very, very separate things. You just got to be careful that once your name's out there, for anybody, not even somebody as a model, if you're a young girl, doesn't matter what job you're in, you've got to be really, really careful, because there's always people that are going to try and
exploit
you. So for any job, I think, anyway. But yeah, it's something that I plan to give up soon, but I keep it very low key. And for the people that, you know, like,
and it's
that,
all
like
behind a, it's all, not that I've googled this or anything, but it's all behind a paywall, isn't it, your thing? Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
you don't access it
no,
by accident.
No, of course not. But it's just something that for me, again, it's not even about the money. If you want to
I just mean it's not something that you're actually advertising. It's something that you actually have to seek out.
Yeah,
like, you don't put it
I don't put it on anywhere else. And that's I really want to keep everything as separate as possible for people that want to like my modelling, because there's lots of, you know, fans on Twitter, things that they love it, they can see it. And for people that don't, then I've got, you know, my actual life.
Yeah.
But I think everybody has a few jobs. And if you look, there's so many sports presenters that have all done it, but they've done it years and years and years before I was even involved. So it's sort of all
been forgotten about now. It's not a thing. I mean,
but there are some really, really smart girls. I've got some really good friends. There are also a lot of the typical glam models that you just see. Yeah, so you've just got to be open-minded. I never judge anybody, so it doesn't matter what you do for a job, what you look like, what you wear. It's based on who you are as a person. And when I meet that person,
I'm the exact opposite
of that
person.
Yeah, you are, Rory. Yes. Yes, I tried to take my friend to a Greek restaurant the other day, and it was just a cafe, nothing fancy at all in North London. Refused to go in there. And he's always calling me materialistic.
It's because the reason that he didn't enjoy that save is because he probably follows you on Instagram and sees that you end up in some of the most exclusive nightclubs. And I follow you on Instagram, and I was looking at your story the other day. I thought that you were in a bar. I was like, wow, that's a lovely bar. The next snap, or the next part of the story, I realised that lovely bar wasn't a bar at all. It was part of an aeroplane. You were on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
You were on a plane and you had a walk-up bar.
That was funny. That was really cool. No, but again, listen, these are all these are all sort of things that are like, I mean, if I've got, we all go on trips all the time. So sometimes we'll get flight upgrades, things like that. But I mean, anybody who has the money for an actual plane flight, I think a business class trip on Emirates to Vegas is around about £15,000. So if any of you lot have that money, you go, you crack on. But I
talking of
don't.
Which, it's your birthday in a couple of days.
My birthday is on the 14th of November. Yes, I'm going to go to Vegas for that. But you just, you know what you got to do? You just got to search online for these cheap deals. Go on, like
have you sorted out sites. Your trip to Vegas? Do you know what you're going to do? Do you know what you're? Have no. you got an agenda?
No, I don't know. We normally get drunk. I'm not going to lie because I'm not a big partier in England. So any of you lot, I basically have. I've always had like at least two jobs. Now I've probably got three. And when you see me in the nightclubs, normally I'm working. I've got friends that I've worked for years, and they'll always call me if they need help, and I'll just go. So I'm not actually on a night out. I mean, the last time I actually went out in London is, well, probably when we went out with your friends into Cirque.
Oh, remember? God. That was terrible.
But that was how many months ago?
That night scarred me. That's the last time I went out.
Yeah.
You know, my wife has never forgiven me for that night.
Oh, you don't like, oh, no, she's not a fan?
No.
Oh.
Listen to what happened.
Well, Rory was in trouble.
I went, it was the day that Chelsea played Manchester United at home, the day that N'Golo Kante scored and we won 1-0 in the cup. I think it was a Monday. I'm virtually sure it was a Monday night. We went out and I was lucky enough to be taken for, you know, a lovely club if you're into it. We went to a club called Cirque du Soir in the West End. Oh, Lordy. I get greedy, you see. I really enjoy it. I'm like, dancing to rap music. I don't have a clue what I'm playing at. And I'm drinking vodka and crap. I make them up. It looks like I know them. But no, but that's nothing to do with it being rap music. Like, that's the same for Grease songs and like things like that. I don't have a clue, but I just make them up and hope for the best. However, this night, we've ended up out in this club. We've got a table and I'm drinking champagne. Then I'm drinking whiskey. And then I'm drinking vodka and cranberry. And I was having a lovely time. I went home and it was really late. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was so ill. I felt so sorry for myself. I was not well. My wife's woken up. She's been she's a very caring and loving person. So she was really looking after me. But it was 5 o'clock in the morning.
So, you know, the way to get through to this is, and I've learnt this from working in as a waitress all my life, you basically have to go out and drink just white tequila. And when I say just white tequila, I mean do not drink a pint of beer.
That doesn't sound like the greatest advice, Sophie.
Because it's the least calorific and you never wake up hungover.
Okay, neither, I mean...
But you've never tried it, have you?
No, and I shan't. I will never go, do you know what?
So carry on being ill.
So I was... No, but I've found another way to alleviate this problem, and that is by not going. I'm not going. I'm
so
never
old.
Going to a nightclub again.
Rory is a bit of an old man.
I am. Because I really enjoy what I love. I love a nice restaurant. Like the other day, I went out, I met Frank Lampard. I then went for
I was so jealous. He met Ramirez and he's one of my all-time favourites.
I met Ramirez in Novikov. I couldn't believe it. Mate, what a day I had. Last Friday, I went out, met Frank Lampard. Frank Lampard was adorable and charming and far too handsome and far too intelligent. Just wonderful company. Left him, went for dinner in Novikov. And Ramirez was sitting behind me. I was like, it was like
how
my favourite ever player.
Because I literally wouldn't have known what to
do. I went to sit down, kind of bent down to sit down and pull my chair in. And as I've gone to pull my chair in, I like cocked my head back just to make sure where the chair was. And he was sitting on the table behind me. I jumped up, kicked the chair back, and was like, Ramirez. And he just looked at me like I was insane. I went, I've just left Frank Lampard. He went, all right. I went, really nice to meet you. And thankfully, I was with Olivia. And she was like, I'm really sorry about him. When you finish your meal, is there any chance of a photo? She was far too cool about it.
Yeah.
And he was charming. He was very nice. And I said, you know, how's China? And he didn't seem overly enthusiastic.
It's like, I want to be at Chelsea.
Yeah, he didn't seem overly enthusiastic.
Well, anytime you want to come back,
well, he was
babe,
at Chelsea the other day. He was actually at the... He was over for the game.
If you want to come back, Ramirez, if you're listening, any time.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. He's a cult hero.
I mean, there's only two favourite goals ever got. That's Michael Essien against Barcelona in that terrible game with the referee, which I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And secondly, Ramirez's goal against Chipping Barcelona. Valdez. Yeah, because I think that was just such a crucial goal.
Oh, mate.
Well, it's and more crucial
ball,
than Torres' goal
The ball
for
through
me.
From Frank Lampard. Hang on, look at that. That's what's happened to me last Friday. I was out and I was with Lampard. And then he's played the assist in and Ramirez has chipped Valdez in Novikov and I was there.
Yeah, I don't think he planned to meet you, Raw, but if you want to put it that way, then that's cool.
Mate, you never know. It was like the stars aligning. It was absolutely perfect. So, birthday celebrations, Vegas. So that leads me on to ask you one final question before we wrap this up. I follow you on there. I know that you're often in Dubai. You love it there.
I do like Dubai,
You're going to Vegas. You can only go to one ever again. Where do you choose? Vegas over Dubai?
Yeah, all day long. Vegas. Do you know, listen, with me, guys, when I go out for a party or for a celebration, I always go to Vegas. I'm not a big drinker at home, unless I'm obviously having to be in a club, then I'm a bit like, woo. But anyway, no, other than that, I never choose really to go out. If I do, it's really a one-off. So I always go to Vegas, and I love the fact it's 24 hours. Now, anybody who knows me, it's another thing, guys, if you really want to know, food is just my absolute life. I eat all day, every day. I should be morbidly obese. I'm not, thankfully. But just there's food everywhere, 24 hours. Whenever I want to go and eat, there's a Cafe Lux. You can just go wherever you want to go. And that is just what I love about it. If you want to do a bit of gambling, want myself a bikini, can do that. Whatever you want to do, it's 24 hours. And I just absolutely love
that place. So Vegas over Dubai?
All day
long. I couldn't disagree more. I love Vegas. I went with my mum. I had a wonderful time.
You can't handle a night out though, Raw.
I can handle one sort of isolated night out.
Nights in a row.
No, for me, Dubai is just... Also, I've got very happy memories with Dubai. It's where I went on my honeymoon. It's also where I proposed to my wife.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So, I do look back on it.
Actually, one place I do love more than anything is Cyprus, because I'm Cypriot Greek. So that's hopefully where I'll reside.
Oh, really? Is that the dream, ultimately?
Yeah. No, I do. I love Cyprus, so we'll see.
Very nice. So when are you back from Vegas?
I'm only going for a few days. The thing is, with this job, guys, then you can't really leave the country for longer than a few days.
Because Chelsea are playing West Brom.
Yeah, I literally, whenever you see me travelling, most of the time it's actually for work. So that's sort of that. And you obviously go out for a few drinks and do a bit of exploring when you're there. But I only ever get to go away for 4 nights maximum, even in the summer this year, because, I mean, summer especially for us, we've got all the transfer news to cover and I can't really be doing that if I'm away.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely, intoxicated.
Although I did enjoy your Dubai videos. I thought they were very good.
Yeah, well, it's nice to meet you, though. Actually, one thing about that, I did meet some fans in Dubai who recognised
really?
The channel. Yeah, recognised the channel. So that was really lovely.
People who were on holiday in Dubai or residents of Dubai?
You know, it was really mad, actually, that we played so poorly because the clock went back here and we were already 3 hours ahead there, so it was 4 hours delay.
Yeah.
So the game was at 11:45 in the evening. Oof. And I went to bed about 3.
Nightmare.
Not a good...
So, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for seeing into my life. I'm really, really glad we got to tell you guys about the channel and why we left and started our own, because I know you lot wanted to know. It's just that we didn't really feel that it was the right time to broadcast it, I suppose, and wanted it to come out in the right way and things like that. But we're just glad that you're liking the content we're putting out now.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate all of your support.
Now, Soph, I really do appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for the following episode, please get them in on the iTunes account. And if you enjoyed this, why not subscribe to this podcast? And I will see you all next week. Can't wait.